Excellent, ladies, and isn't he worthy of our praise? We thank the Lord for who he is and what he has done. And I was meditating this week from Psalm 22, and we should ever, forever praise him because we praise him for who he is, and we thank him for what he has done. What a great, great morning. We apologize for the technical difficulties we had with the PowerPoint this morning. And look forward to getting those things back up and running. I really appreciate the guys and all the extra time that they have put into this. This morning, kind of the key verse is handling a matter wisely, found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. You don't need to turn there. Just a couple of things really quickly. I was thinking about with this virus, and especially as a body of Christ, how we need to handle things wisely and trust in the Lord. And again, let me just reiterate to you, this isn't about what all we think or believe about this. When we come together as leadership, they have asked that we would put on the mask to get in here and put on the mask to go out. And, you know, in my own flesh, I kind of rebel against things like that, I must admit to you. But then I realized, you know what, it's because I love myself too much. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, there's never yet been a person that hasn't loved themselves. But what the Bible commands us to do is esteem others better than ourselves. And so I recognize it would be my attitude, well, I won't go to church, so I don't have to wear a mask. Well, that kind of an attitude, you're just thinking about yourself. And you're not thinking about the assembling of ourselves together and encouraging one another. And you say, well, if it's about me, and if I have to wear a mask, then I'm not going. And so that was kind of my attitude. And that didn't sound good, especially as a pastor. In fact, you ought to kick me out with an attitude like that. And so I realized I had to change my attitude and recognize this isn't about me. And if it makes someone else feel more comfortable and willing to come, I would much rather have them here. And so let us just, as we come in the building and as we go out, as we're seated, we're already to take it off of you, get up and mix around and mingle with people in fellowship. Just because we're not sure who all is comfortable with it and who's not, we just ask you to put the mask back on for that. When we fellowship afterward, let me encourage you again. We kind of congregated out here last week, which is fine, but it makes it more difficult for the cars down here to get out and also for people to get out of the building if we all stop right as we get out the door. So as much as we can, let's move up to the parking lot, the fellowship, and enjoy our time there up along the sidewalks, get off on the grass a little bit. You're allowed to walk on the grass. That's all right. We're more concerned about souls than we are grass. So we can do that. And let's just have a really good spirit. And I know the Lord has worked on my heart over the last week, and I think that's important. Boy, what a mess our country's in right now, is it not? And if you watch the news, it gets discouraging. And one of the things that I think about is not our greatest need in our country is not to abolish racism, though that is a tremendous need. Our greatest need is not the equality of the races, though that is a great need. Our greatest need is Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, we lead to anarchy in our own hearts, and it leads to anarchy in our nation. We can go on and on about what's happening and what should be happening. I think we all recognize what is best for our country and what is best for glorifying the Lord. But this really ought to increase our passion as Christians to live the life, to live in peace with God, to be still and know that He is God, to get on our knees for this great nation and to ask God across the bipartisan lines. Who cares if they're a Democratic governor or a Republic governor or whatever. Beg God to give them wisdom and discretion, and beg God for the strength of our police officers. I must admit, if I was a police officer, I'd just feel like going home and handing in the badge. And again, I'm about a worthless individual, aren't I, Brother John? Shoot me if you like. But you know what? That's your heart comes out sometimes. You think, well, if that's the way they think of me, why even work? But, you know, I praise the Lord for those men and women who, even though they're being highly disrespected, still seek to protect our people. And God bless those who are willing to put their lives on the line for the safety of our people. And the towns that are being destroyed, even the last image I have of Philadelphia last night that it was burning, part of it was set on fire last evening. And so let's really pray for our nation, and let's live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do our best to show forth his praise. Now, the message I want to preach to you this morning is found in Joshua chapter 22. So I'd love for you to turn there and join me. Joshua chapter 22. This was not at all the message that I was intending to preach, and this has not changed because of what's happened this week in our nation. This message changed because as I was reading and just trying to understand the book of Joshua a little bit better, I was looking at the chronology of it and the timeline of it. So actually, the book of Joshua covers about 25 years. You don't necessarily gather any of that information, just merely the reading. You don't feel like you're moving through year after year. 7 years of conflicts like Ai and Jericho and so forth. And then there's another approximately 18 years mixed in. There's only about 10 days before the fighting of Jericho. From the beginning of the book of Joshua to the fighting of Jericho was about 10 days. So imagine that and understand that as you're reading your Bible. Here you are going through five chapters and it was 10 days. Now over the next 7-8 chapters, you progress 7 years. So again, don't come into this understanding when reading, especially, and this is our first history book in the Bible, that every chapter is a day, or every chapter is a week, or every chapter is a year, or anything like that. It varies according to the reading and the information given. So I was just trying to collectively get my mind to understanding, and as you get into chapter 13, 14, 15, I talked about Caleb last week, and what a tremendous man of God. And it began to divide now these cities that they had conquered. And it's now getting to the point where they were going to send the 2.5 tribes out of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh back to the other side of the Jordan. And they're going to divide unto them their portion, and the other 9.5 tribes get their portion on this side of the promised land and this side of Jordan. And I was reading through all this, and I got into chapter 22 because I really wanted to understand the flow of things going into chapters 23 and then preach on chapter 24 and verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I just didn't quite understand chapter 22. So I read it again and got a little bit more information, read it again, got a little bit more information. And that began to dawn on me, the tremendous information that is here. So I start to put together an email. I was going to send it to Karen, Pastor Terry, and all. And as we counsel with people, this chapter be really good for helping us in counseling people and helping us in living the Christian life, how to resolve issues. And then I stopped in the middle of the email and thought, wow, this is like a sermon. And I'm thinking, this is a sermon we need. And so I began to pray and ask the Lord to direct me in this sermon, because you know what? Often people in their relationships get to the place where they never resolve issues. You might be in a marriage like that. You have issues come up in your marriage, and while you move on, you never really resolve any issues. And this is what you find out over time, whether it's marriage or dealing with children or dealing with parents or dealing with co-workers or dealing with neighbors, whatever it might be, you find that over time you end up kind of building blocks and it becomes kind of like a wall between you. Because you never deal with, you never resolve any issues. So maybe you're in a relationship, maybe you're in a new relationship. Maybe you haven't been in this relationship very long. I want to really encourage you of following through on this chapter and learning how to resolve issues. Now, in learning how to resolve issues, there's some things we ought to be doing, and there are some things that we ought not to be doing. And I found both of them here really clearly in Joshua chapter 22. So I want to talk to you about resolving issues, because we must learn how to resolve issues and restore relationships. So this might help you in your marriage today. This might help you in dealing with your sister or your brother today. This might help you in dealing with your parents or your neighbor today. But we need to learn how to resolve issues, and let's look at it from the Word of God, begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe in reconciliation. And you want us to be people who are reconciling others to you. But Father, that really seems disingenuous if we can't even resolve issues and reconcile with one another. So there might be even two people within the church here. I haven't even mentioned that. I haven't really thought about it. There might be people in the church here that need this because they've never resolved issues. And they just keep kind of building things up between each other. And they move on, but they don't really deal with it properly. It might be a husband and wife here today or listening to the live stream. There might be some siblings that have built some resentment. They have actually not reconciled, but resented one another. And so I pray you'd help us to understand the importance of resolving issues. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you look at the study sheet? Would you flip it over? I've got 9 points to cover here today. I might have to resolve some issues by the end of the service. And so I want to get to this kind of quickly. I want to work through this kind of quickly. And so please understand, there's a lot more beauty in this passage. I would encourage you to read it, reread it, read it again. You might not understand it the first couple of times, as did I. And we need to learn how to handle matters wisely. Well, let's kind of set the table. And here are the 2.5 tribes, and they're going to be given a new property. And let's look at that beginning in verse number 2, just to kind of set the stage here. And said unto them, Joshua is saying to the 2.5 tribes, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. By the way, you can find that in Numbers 32. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 1. You can even find it in Joshua chapter 1. They were to let their wives and their children on the one side of Jordan, and they were to send their men of war to cross the Jordan and help to conquer the lands. And once they have rest, they could go back over, rejoin their wives and their children, and they would have their property on the other side of Jordan. And he says, look at verse number 3, ye have not left your brethren these many days until this day. You've been faithful. You fulfilled all the obligations. Look at verse number 4. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore, now return you. Okay, wars are over. We conquered the land we were supposed to. Your brothers, the other 9.5 tribes, are at rest. The land that's been conquered, now you can go back over to the other side of Jordan. Look at verse number 5. But take diligent heed. Look at this tremendous verse. Worthy of our reading, rereading, and our admonition, or really, really our obedience to it. Look what it says in verse number 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Here it is, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all of his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse number 6 simply says, so Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. What a tremendous point in time in the nation's history here. They're finally at rest. The 7 years of conquering and the 7 years of battling is over. Ai has been captured. Jericho has been captured. The Gibeonites have been subdued and so forth. We could go on and on. And now it's ready to divide the land. In fact, that's what's going to happen from chapter number 12 all the way up to chapter number 22. It's the dividing of this land. Well, what happens is these 2.5 tribes are going to leave the next day and they're going to head back toward the Jordan and cross the Jordan to the other side to rejoin their family. And look what it says in verse number 10. It's a key verse. When they came to the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see. What are they building an altar for? I mean, why are they building that big altar? Are they worshiping other gods? What's going on in their life? I mean, we just got all this victory. We were just ended. We just had rest. God has now just said, go ahead, go back. And now they're already building this huge altar to worship false gods. Is that what the scripture says? Doesn't say it, does it? But that's what Israel concluded. The other 9.5 tribes, but what are they doing? You know what? All of a sudden there became an issue. An issue that needed to be resolved. An issue that should have never been there in the first place. So let's look, point number one, at this idea. You must learn not to assume that you know what they meant, or you know what they did, or you... I could go on and on with the point, and for the time I have and the points I have, I can't do that. And so you could go on and on. The realization is, as Christians, we need to stop, and instead of assuming we know what they meant or assuming what is going on, we need to get clarification. But look what Israel did, the other 9.5 tribes. Look at verse number 12. And when the children of Israel heard of it, that's the building of the altar, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh. Look why they gathered, to go up to war against them. Here they are from miles away. They're in Shiloh. They merely hear that the other 2.5 tribes had built this huge altar just on the other side of Jordan. And merely hearing that, they already concluded in their minds, we need to go attack them. We need to go destroy them. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the setting of our country right now, where we're not being attacked right now by a virus. We're being attacked right now by our own people. And again, the idea of jumping to conclusions and assuming we know what is really going on and assuming what we need, and let's just go. And again, what happens sometimes in our Christianity and what happens sometimes in our relationships, we assume we know what's going on. Well, you might have heard them say something, but you may not have understood what they were saying. All things aren't as they appear, and such is true and is here with Israel. And so first of all, you must learn not to assume you know what's going on. So let's back up. So if I'm not to assume, then how am I to handle this in order to handle it wisely? Let's look at number two. You must not use others then for leverage. Look what Israel's going to do. Now, Israel is going to do a little bit of right and a lot of wrong. What they're going to do is they're going to get one man named Phinehas and 10 other princes to go with him. And there seems to be some others going along as well. And they're going to go confront them. Well, notice how the confrontation starts. Look at verse number 16, what happens. They finally meet up with the 2.5 tribes. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. How many of you love it when someone comes up to confront you and they start the conversation by saying, well, so-and-so and I have been talking and we, boy, what happens? You immediately go on the what? You go on the defensive, or the offensive. You immediately go on the defensive, don't you? And what we do sometimes is we try to leverage someone to do something we want them to do by saying, I've been talking and a whole bunch of people have said to me and other people are saying this. We should never approach someone on the basis of this, so-and-so and I were talking, or these people have been saying. You know what you're admitting to? Number one, you're admitting to them, you're making this thing bigger than it ought to be. Because the Bible says we ought to write it between two people. You're also admitting you've been involved in gossip. So that means you've been sinning against them and you need to be asking their forgiveness. So here you are going to confront them when you ought to be going to apologize to them and asking them to forgive you. And so again, when we are trying to right the wrongs, we should not be going and trying to leverage them by saying, look at how again, verse number 16, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. Everybody's talking about you 2.5 tribes and what you've done here. Not a good way to start a conversation. Also, we must not be prone to think or conclude the worst. Have you ever done it? I think we all have. We have all done this at some point in our lives. We immediately conclude the worst. We don't give people benefit of doubt. Love thinketh no evil. And so whenever we're doing this, we're not loving. When we consider the worst, in fact, if you would, look back at verse number 16. Let's just see how it unfolds a little bit here. Thus saith the, this is what Phinehas and the other men are saying. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the Lord of Israel? To turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded an altar, and ye might rebel this day against the Lord. Boy, it was full of accusations. They have jumped to the wrong conclusion. They have begun to accuse them instead of trying to find out what's going on. They merely are beginning to accuse them. And so, dear friend, another thing you need to do is you need to stop jumping to conclusions. Boy, you're going to break relationships apart. You're going to build up walls. And you're not going to resolve issues when you jump to conclusions. And so let's look at point number four for the sake of time and again keeping us working through this. So then you must get clarity before you jump to conclusions. I'm not going to work through all of this, but one of the clarity you have to do, is there an actual sin that's been committed? We would say that it's proper to confront sin when it's there, it's obvious, but we have to first of all make sure there's a sin. What Phinehas and them were doing were accusing them of committing a sin without really knowing if there was a sin committed. And by the way, there wasn't. So they stirred up all this mess when there wasn't even a sin in the first place. Have you ever done that? Yeah, you've gotten angry, you've gotten your emotions, got you the best of you and began to control you. You go and confront someone because, yeah, the Bible says that we ought to be confronting in the spirit of meekness, though. Those of you who are still spiritual, some of you lost your spirituality because you got mad. Some of you have gotten in the emotions already. It's true of all of us. We've gotten into our emotions and we're no longer spiritual. And we are not confronting them in a spirit of meekness. We're confronting them in a spirit of accusations, just like what is taking place here. And they're accusing them of committing sin. And so you've got to stop and get clarity. So let's jump right into the next point, because this is how you do it. You must ask questions to create communication instead of making accusations which shut down communication. Again, just picture it here a little bit with me. I talked to Beth a little bit, and I talked to Karen, and then I took it to leadership. We really think, I'm going to social distance here a little bit. We really think you got some sin in your life. I mean, we've all been talking about it, and it came up on Facebook too. And all of a sudden he's on the defensive, isn't he? And you know, you've been doing it, and we can begin to list off the sins that we... And Pastor Terry may be totally innocent. We may have totally misread the situation. Boy, now we've got our foot in the wrong place, don't we? We're accusing someone out of a spirit of anger. We're bringing in the fact that we've talked to others and find out it wasn't really even true in the first place. We've been there. Again, instead of resolving an issue, what we're doing is building up resentment. We're building a wall between us. We're not resolving the problem. We're creating new problems. Again, we need to make sure, first of all, that it is sin that we're dealing with. And we do that by asking questions and not making accusations. As you read through this, and again, I just want to show you a little bit of what is taking place. Look in verse number 17. I've already read 16 where the accusations began. Look at this in verse 17. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us? Now, this is really a little bit showing their motive. There was a sin back at Peor. There were several of them. One in Numbers chapter 23 when Balaam asked Balak to build seven altars there. Then another time in Numbers chapter 25 when they were worshiping the false god at Baal Peor. And so at that point, there was a judgment announced upon the children of Israel from then out. They were still under that judgment. And so is not the iniquity of Baal Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation, Lord? And so he's saying, haven't we gone through enough? Haven't we suffered enough that you have not now compounded this by adding more? Look at verse number 18, partway through. Seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth. So you're just bringing more anger of the Lord against us. Let me ask you this. Are they resolving this by asking questions, or are they making the matter worse by lobbing accusations? What do you think? Here they are making accusations. What are they doing? They're not resolving any issues. They're building up a wall of resentment. Again, the need, dear Christian, to learn how to resolve issues in your relationships, whether it's a new relationship or a relationship of many years. Let me say, well, man, we've been in this 10 years. There's been 10 years of this. Now, I'll address that at the end of the message. But again, what we need to do is not jump to conclusions, but we need to begin to ask questions. Accusations make us defensive, and then we either withdraw or become explosive in line with their character. Some people, because of their character, will withdraw. Other people, because of their character, will explode. By the way, notice I use the word character, not personality. We like to try to blame our personality. Well, that's just my personality. Well, it's your character as well, and that's the root of the problem. So then let's look at point number six. You must then not compare them with others. Isn't that one of the things it really bothers you when you're getting now compared to someone else? We've already seen it a little bit in verse number 17 when they've been compared to the days of Peor. But look at verse number 20. Who do they now compare them with? What's the name? Achan, who took of the accursed thing. You're just like Achan. How many of you have been accused of something and they add to that, they add to the accusation, you're just like your sister. You're just like your brother. You're just like your dad. You're just like your mom. How did that help get the issue resolved? Or did that build up some more resentment? Did that build up a wall? Again, see, they were doing the right thing and going, but they handled it all the wrong way. As I read and read and reread this, I mean, it just began to unfold to me. Here they are approaching the 2.5 tribes, but they're accusing them. They're likening them to other people. They're mentioning everybody's talking. They're approaching everything in the wrong way. Again, if I were to confront Pastor Terry and say I've been talking to Beth and others, and even Andy added some things in there, Pastor Terry, that I didn't know. And I bring all these things to Pastor Terry, and you're just like Brother John Lewis. Boy, that helped out, didn't it? Thanks. Well, you should be like Brother John Lewis. He's a godly man. You know what? We can flip it either way, and you can do it that way. Boy, I wish you were like. How did that help to resolve the issue? Again, dear friends, we have to learn to resolve and get to the point of the issue. At this point, let me ask you a question. Was Phinehas and the men attacking the problem, or were they attacking the people? What were they attacking? The people. So often that's how we approach issues. We attack the people instead of the problem. Point number seven. allow others then to explain, and be meek in your spirit, your attitude toward them. Allow them, open. They made these accusations. They should ask questions. They made these accusations. Now, what are the 2.5 tribes going to do? Well, they could have just said, forget you. We don't care about you. We're back on our side. Get on your side of Jordan. That'd be something I'd say to my brother. Get on your side of the seat. You're across the line. Get over there. Leave me alone. Instead of doing this, look a little bit at what they did. I don't have the time. I'd love to go through it all. Look at verse 22. The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, He knoweth, and Israel shall know. Okay, God knows, and we're going to let you all know. If it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. What are they saying? Hey, if we're guilty, judge us. Wow, that's a pretty meek spirit. And they go on to explain why they built the altar. Well, you see, the reason we built this altar is we were really afraid that once we got back over here where our fathers once were, and I'm adding a little bit between the lines, but this is what I got from what I read. They didn't want their children to become like their fathers. See, their fathers were over on that side of Jordan, and they rebelled against the Lord, and they served other gods, one of them being Baal Peor in Numbers chapter 25. And they didn't want their children to be like that. Well, they left Shiloh. They left where they had an altar and were able to worship God on that side of Jordan, but they didn't have a place to worship God on this side of Jordan. So they built a really big altar, because they wanted a place to remind their family that we serve the one true God. Oh, that's why you built the altar. Do you know a lot of broken relationships simply come out of a misunderstanding? And we jump to conclusions, and we make accusations. And when they get upset at us, which they shouldn't, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit either way. When you're falsely accused, by the way, dear friend, you should still be like Christ. When He was falsely accused, did He get angry? Did He start shouting? Did He throw things? Did He make accusations back? Did He attack the people back? No. In all this, He sinned not. He actually even committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. So either side you're on, you need to guard your spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you see, in this whole situation, it was merely a misunderstanding. And they had made so much more out of it. Be willing to be meek in your spirit. Go and ask questions. Hey, let's rewrite the story a little bit. Of course, this is the Word of God. We can't do that. But what if they would have just simply said, hey, we saw you raised an altar, but we weren't sure what you were doing there. What are you raising an altar for? Oh, that's great. We ought to do something like that. Instead, they came with accusations. Started building up a resentment, a wall. Wall that over time would need to be torn down. Again, in your relationships you're in right now, maybe you've been building up walls because you haven't been dealing with it properly. Again, let's just take the example of God's Word and apply it to our own heart and life. By the way, beautiful story. And hearing their heartfelt of why they did it was wonderful. So then we need to handle a matter wisely, because that brings praise to God and peace with others. I just want to share a little bit of the next four verses from verse 30 down to verse number 33. Just look at a little bit of this. And when they, I would say, heard the words, it pleased them. So when Phinehas and the men, they heard it, look at the end of the verse, it pleased them. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. And Phinehas, this is his statement that he's going to make in verse number 31. This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because we have not committed this trespass. Think about what they were going to do. They were going to come in war against them. The wisdom of not letting your emotions control you, but controlling your emotions. Instead of going on the attack, they went and probed the situation. Again, not in a perfect way. I've pointed that out, but they attacked the people instead of attacking the problem. But anyway, they've gotten to the place where they have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. By handling it a little bit more carefully, we've actually kept ourselves from sin. Look at verse 33. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. They had evil intentions. But because they searched out the matter, which is wise for us to do. So then we've got to learn to resolve issues. I really like verse 34 as it closes it out. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar what? Ed. Why did he call it Ed? Look what it says. For, this is the reason, it shall be a witness between us. It's going to forever remind them that it was here we got things right between one another. You say, Pastor, but it's been years of doing this wrong. Where do I go from here? It's a good question to ask. If you've been handling matters unwisely, then what you need to do is really go to those individuals, or specifically anyone as of late, and say, you know what, I've confronted you with some things, and I haven't done it the way the Lord would have wanted me to do that. First of all, will you forgive me for the way I've approached this? And secondly, can we work together at resolving issues in the future where neither of us accuse each other, and where we go and with a loving spirit ask questions and communicate and resolve issues? Again, just because you failed in the past doesn't mean you're destined for failure in the future. You can get it right. Now, because you've done it that way for so long, there are going to be times in the future it's probably going to happen again. You need to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And so somebody might approach you wrongly in the future, or you might approach someone else wrongly in the future. And again, when you come to the realization of what was done was wrong, you need to confess it, you need to ask for forgiveness from both God and them, and move forward. But let's handle matters wisely. As you read through this story, I think it's very evident. I know for me at times I've not handled things wisely at all. So I want to apply these truths to my life so that, and I put at the end of your study sheet, Psalm 33:1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the only way you can dwell together in unity is if you be agreed, and the only way you can be agreed is to resolve the issue. It is impossible but that offenses will come. It's impossible to go through life without offenses. So let's handle it wisely when they come. Let's pray. A lot to get in, and praise the Lord, we're able to get done a few minutes before the hour. Who would say, Pastor, as you preach, this is something I've struggled with over time. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Matt, sometimes I've approached it, I get so worked up and I get nervous and then I say the wrong thing. I do jump to conclusions. I do leverage people by saying I was talking to so-and-so and they, or I compare people to other people. Why aren't you like, or you're just like? Pastor, man, I've failed in a lot of this. Would you pray for me? I want to change. I want to do this the way God wants to do it. I want to resolve issues and not build resentment. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You may put those hands down. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Anyone else? Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We need help. Your son was a perfect example. Give us help. Father, help us to be strong in the Lord. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to evaluate our own selves. You said several times through your son that we are to take heed to ourselves. Watch what we're doing. Would you prompt us by your Spirit? Would you convict us that we're getting an angry spirit? Would you convict us when we get into our emotions? Would you convict us when we're about to accuse someone instead of asking questions? When we're about to compare someone with someone else? Or we're about to try to leverage them? We're trying to manipulate people into doing what we want them to do. Father, help us. Help us to grow and change for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever heard a message preached from Joshua 22? Raise your hand. I have never heard a message preached from Joshua 22. I was just amazed. I wrestled with the Spirit to come up with the information for today, but once God began to open His Word to me, there was much there to find. Again, as we go out, let's not love ourselves, let's love each other. And so let's go ahead and put a mask on to get out of here. Let's try to work our way away from the doors a little bit to begin having fellowship. Once you get out there, you can go ahead and enjoy some fellowship without the masks on and social distance up there. Please feel free to do that. I did notice Brother Doug last week went from making it a mask to cover his nose to a sleep mask while I was preaching. He's not here. He was joking with me. He was pulling it up over his eyes to go to sleep for the message. Don't you do that either, okay? I didn't give anybody the idea before the message because I figured it'd come out in some of you. Brother Seth, you started to put your hand up.
One way or the other, we will have the issue tonight.
God bless you guys. Seven years of age or older, if you want to drive big equipment, you're willing to join. Thank you. And again, God bless you. It's good to see you all here. Enjoy some fellowship. Boy, let's pray for our country. Let's stand together, and in the first minute here, if anybody's really, you got fragile health and you'd like to beat the crowd out, or you just want to go, let's stand. Go ahead. If you really want to get ahead of people, you say, man, my health's a little on the edge. I'd rather be ahead of everybody else. Please feel free to leave now. We had somebody do it in the first service. We will not look down upon you for doing so. Thank you, Amanda and Amanda, also for sanitizing between services. Brother Jim Maxwell will do it this afternoon before tonight. Tonight is a hymn sing, and so you're welcome to join us. If you send them ahead, we'll be able to put them on the screen. If not, we'll probably sing one very familiar verse and move on. We have a good number of already come in. Send them to myself, either email or text, and that would be great. God bless you. Enjoy some fellowship. Please slip out with your masks on. Enjoy some fellowship. You're dismissed.